What's playing right now, Christian?
Oh, we got some Jamadee.
Jamadee.
Fresh Jamadee just released a 2-volume record.
Real nice.
Yeah. Yeah, you missed the whole first half of the show, which was smooth and slow. Some New Moon B, Mark Barot.
Excellent.
Balearic, as some would say.
I was cruising.
Oh, shit. That was it. So this is CITR. Thanks for listening.
Attention, there will be a cake fight at the Woods Studio, 7 West 2nd Avenue, Friday, July 8th. There will be a cake fight at the Woods Studio, Friday, July 8th. Bands will play. Phone a Penny. The Rush for Life. Wish Kicker. And Pink Licorice.
Carnaval del Sol, an outdoor Latin fiesta at Concord Pacific Place, is returning on July 9th and 10th. Pack your summer colorful clothes and come eat, play, and live Latin America. Carnaval del Sol is a 2-day festival featuring 250 musicians and traditional folk dancers, a culinary show, a World Mini Cup Series soccer tournament, a fashion show, mini chef for kids, Latin American food vendors, and a beer garden. Bring the family and friends. Entrance is free. Enjoy life with Carnaval del Sol on July 9th and 10th at Concord Pacific Place.
It could be global, trance, spoken word, rock, the usual and the weird, or it could be something different. Oral Tentacles, Thursdays 12 to 6 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
Hempology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/hempology101UBC. Or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
After 10 years of producing One Cool Word magazine, OCW magazine, the 222 Bookshop Gallery, and the Vancouver Art Book Fair, Project Space presents an anniversary party and fundraiser for the 2016 Vancouver Art Book Fair. Come to Vivo at 2625 Caslow. Doors at 6 p.m. Expect a small night market with zines, artisans, an art sale, comedy, 4 bands, and a DJ. How can we pack the last 10 years into one night? Illustrations by Julie Major, Nathan Jones and Jeff Lee, Heidi Najdegal, Alex Dorsberg, Brennan Kelly, Sylvie Ringer, Aaron Reed, Sylvana D'Angelo, and Chelsea O'Byrne. Limited edition prints by Maya Natalie Gulin and Anesca Minichosa, Cameron McLeod, Little Mountain Rock, Pink Licorice, Stefana Fertilla.
Hello, you're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. And my name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is a very special episode of White Noise at a very special time of 8 p.m. this week. Yes, we're usually on at 11, and just to let you know, going forward, from next week, we will be broadcasting at a brand new time of 9 p.m, still on a Wednesday night, but at 9 p.m. So tune in then at the new time.
We're defining the watershed.
Thank you, Connor, for interrupting there in my beautiful flow. But yes, that's true. I'm in the studio with Connor Neckleput and Sierra Wiley today. Hello, Sierra.
Hey there, Simon.
Are you excited for this one?
Definitely haven't heard these ones.
Yeah, no, I'm excited too for you guys to hear it. Yeah, so we're doing a best of the last sort of 5 episodes in this one today. So I think I actually was in, I was I'm always a bit, I always struggle just after we make them to understand, you know, to really define whether it was a good episode or not. But going back now, a couple of weeks later, and pulling stuff out.
You realize they're all shit.
Well, it was funny. There was one episode I somehow just didn't take anything from. But I did pull stuff out of the other ones, and I'm pretty happy.
Was it the one that Connor wrote that you didn't take anything from?
Yeah, that was probably the one,
That's probably what it was. But yeah, and yes, we would like to just stress quite clearly now that we are going to be playing a show which is not suitable for anyone, really.
No one.
So, you know,
not even us.
Young, old,
obviously, concerned parents, atheistic. Please be aware it might be time to turn the radio off. I don't, you know, because you're listening to the radio because it's 1943 with
that being
your children.
Said, you should come and follow us after kids go to bed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you should, if you have to turn it off because there's kids in the room, then go download the podcast later on from CITR.ca or whitenoisecomedy.podbean.com. Yes, definitely follow up on that and check us out. But yes, this is not suitable for children. So everyone else.
Who is it suitable for?
Well, anyone, well, children and the sensitive. We'll say the sensitive as well.
But nonetheless, our show's never been for the sensitive anyway. So no, the change only reflects the fact that children may be listening.
So yes.
We apologise in advance for their ears.
Yeah, we really do.
And their future.
But if your parents aren't there, then definitely keep the radio on because you're going to enjoy it.
It's mad fun now, isn't it?
And following the White Noise show will be, as always, the White Noise after show. And we'll be getting into some. There's lots of big stuff in the news, so we got plenty to talk about in that second half hour, and we got some cracking tunes to play, so there's just so many reasons to hang about. But without further ado, it's time for some White Noise.
Warning, the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the best of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's show is brought to you in part by Men's Cologne. You can't change your looks, so you might as well smell nice. First up tonight is an advert.
From the people who brought you Flintstones Chewable Ritalin, the world's sharpest shank, and of course, the best-selling Fleshlight Flashlight, two products in one. We now present to you the male bejazzling sensation, Ball Jazzle. Using our patented kit, which is basically gems and a glue gun, you can pimp out your penis, maybe even literally with our vast array of fake gemstones and skin-irritating glue. In 5 minutes, you can go from average Joe to dangling low. It's a chandelier by your rear. It's everything you want to be, and it may be difficult to pee, but you won't regret it. However, we do not guarantee it. So act now and ball jazzle your tackle. Warning, side effects may include swagger, John Wayne legs, penile rust, penile crust, elongated testicle sac, septicemia, diarrhea, gonorrhea, and anal leakage. About time. I'm sick of being jealous of my sister's vajazzling. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back. Carl, where are you?
I'm in here.
What are you doing in a bathroom? Oh, you're not trying sixing again, are you?
No, I'm trying to work out what this lamp is.
That's mould, Carl.
Yeah, it tastes like mould. How did it get on my elbow?
When was the last time you showered?
What month is Christmas?
December.
Well, it's not my fault you clogged the drain with air.
Well, when you have as luscious locks as mine.
Well, most people don't have them on their backs.
I can't help the way I was born.
I know. I've seen pictures. You were an extremely hairy baby.
Yeah, I look like a fat Chewbacca.
Well, at least Chewie'd never fuck my mum.
Oh, this again. Look,
Carl, if you don't like it, just pretend it's not happening.
We share a bed!
It's a roomy double.
Oh, Neil, we have got to make some money. I can't take it anymore.
Fine. We just need to get back to basics.
Oh, no. No more porn.
Oh, we could rob a car.
Ooh, I've never mugged a car. Do they carry much money?
No, we're stealing the car, Carl, so we can resell it.
But won't the owners mind?
Did you bring the tools?
One crowbar.
That isn't a crowbar.
Yes, it is.
No, that's a bar with a crow glued to it. Did you bring the ski masks?
No, I just got these white sheets because I thought if we could poke holes in them and if people see us, they will just think we're racists.
What about think we're ghosts?
Yeah, but ghosts don't carry crowbars. Racists might. You see, this is why I'm the brains of the operation.
Now, forget the sheets. Let's just use the old standby. Underpants over our faces.
Okay. When did you get that tattoo of a naked seaman?
When I went to Disneyland.
Neil, are those my mum's underwear?
Nah, I just like them frilly.
Okay. So, which car do you fancy?
Nothing too flashy, but not, like, cheap.
How about that ice cream van?
It's not very inconspicuous, is it?
Does it need to be insuspicious?
I'll just pick someone else. No, not your nose, a car!
How about that Ferrari?
That's a Ford Fiesta.
Oh, whoops. Same colour, though.
No, it isn't. Do you not see colours, Carl?
Oh, what about that black cab?
Oh, yeah, perfect. All right, give me the bar.
What bar?
The crowbar thingy.
I'll just use the crow.
Okay. Great. Now my hand's just covered in squashed crow. Give me the bar.
Fine.
See? Much easier. And now we just connect the red to the green. And voila!
Oh, brilliant!
I don't know why we didn't do this earlier.
Well, maybe it was because you were too busy shagging my mum!
Oh, give it a rest, Carl. As soon as we shift this, I'm buying you your very own set of earplugs.
Where are we going?
Oh, there's a chop shop that pays cash on the ring road. Not far now. Oh, more bloody red lights.
Number 4, Clapham Road, driver.
Oh,
it's in the East End.
Right, did you happen to bring a map with you?
Are you qualified, sir? Do I need to report this cab?
No, not at all. Carl, my assistant, will direct me. Carl, look it up on your phone.
I don't have a phone. I traded it for the crow.
Oh, shit. All right, we got to ditch her.
We could kill her.
What? No. Well, maybe, but that seems a little too far. I mean, even for us.
What if we just went a bit mental and just scared the crap out of her?
I can hear you both.
Oh, we're just rehearsing for a play, madam.
What's it called?
Cats!
Casablanca.
Casablanca?
Yeah, it's a mixture of cats and Casablanca. And some woman gets murdered. And all the parts are played by taxi drivers.
Oh, where's it playing?
The Royal Albert Hall.
No, just Carl's little joke. It's a very small venue in Hackney. Very difficult to get to. Terrible chairs and near a park full of smackheads.
Naturally. You just can't get the funding these days.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, madam. We appear to be breaking down. I'm going to have to pull over and let you out.
Can't you fix it?
No, the...
Brakes have gone.
Oh, my God!
No, it's the fuel hump.
The fuel hump?
Yeah, you know, it humps the fuel.
You mean the fuel pump?
Don't worry, madam. Leave it to the men. You just run along. No charge.
I'd hope not. And a little tip. Next time you steal a cab, bring a map.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, she was nice.
All right, well, let's go before...
Whitehall, driver.
Piss off!
Jolly good.
I've never stolen a car, though I'd love to be arrested for Grand Theft Segway. Next up tonight is an interview.
Good evening and welcome to Creepy Conversations. I'm Brad Stoker, and tonight I'm joined by special guest, Count Dracula III. Good evening, Dracula.
Hello, Brad. Nice to be here. Love the curtains.
So, my first question is, what is it like to be the third Dracula? Is it hard living up to the legacy of your father and grandfather?
Of course, being the third Dracula does put some pressure on me, but it just means I always have to stay on top of my game. You know, there's no off-season for vampires, except sleepy time.
Is it a lonely life?
Yes, it's very hard to make plans because most people, they sleep at night. But I have gotten pretty close with Carl, who works at the 7-Eleven. He's a cool guy, makes his own jerky out of cats.
And does the infinite lifetime worry you?
Well, it does mean I always have a lot of spare time, but that's why I took up Dungeons & Dragons. It's a great way to kill a few thousand hours, and you meet some great humans to kill.
Do you get the chance to hang out with many other vampires?
No, I try not to. Most of them just, they want to talk shop. You know, talk about killing. I mean, I get it. You're filled with an insatiable appetite for blood, but for God's sake, open a book once in a while.
So, big question here. How do you pick your victims to suck blood from?
Well, I'll admit, I'm a little vain. I go for the cute ones.
And do you simply corner them alone?
Oh, no. I'm a romantic. I take them out for a nice dinner, champagne, flowers, a little dancing, and then I drain the life out of them.
Do you feel at all guilty for doing this?
No. Humans are a virus on the earth.
I think that might be a bit strong.
So is my bite if you don't shut up.
One final question then. If you could be any other sort of creature, what would you be?
I would be a dairy cow. I like having my nipples rubbed.
Thank you for being here, Count Dracula.
The third.
Right, the third. And join us again next week when I will be joined by the always charming Irish Banshee.
I don't like vampires. They always suck the life out of the room. Next up tonight, Elvis and Dolly are back.
Come on. This goddamn elevator slower than Nigel Farage.
Oh, hi, Elvis. You're actually on time today.
Yeah, I was already downtown. I had breakfast at that nice European place on Connecticut.
The strip bar?
Yeah, amazing breakfast buffet. I'll take you sometime.
I don't think so. I don't think I can trust myself.
You think you'd have to get your tits out?
No, because it's a buffet, you idiot. What the?
It's a setup. Stand back!
God damn it, put that away. It's a broken elevator, you ingrate.
Ah, goddammit. This is the one time I forget my C4.
It's a goddamn Pentagon, you idiot. Sit the fuck down.
Fine. I'm always been good at that.
Man, this could take a while.
Maybe we just do a sing-along.
No. Just relax. Maybe use this time for a little introspection. You need it.
Oh. How many fingers do I need to do that?
Oh, no. You just reflect on where you are, where you've been, and where you're going.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I was on top. I'm still on top. And in the future, I'll probably die of a massive heart attack while having sex with a beautiful woman. Yeah.
There's no subtlety to you, is there?
Subtlety? It's for the weak. You don't have to be quiet when you have nothing to fear.
Well, thanks, Stalin. But don't you ever just stop and think, is there any point to our jobs?
What do you mean? Our kick-ass secret agent jobs?
Yes.
Seriously? Is there any point to lobotomizing Trump, killing Putin's dog Fufu, killing Harry Styles, blowing up Greenpeace's boat? I mean, come on! We're doing the Lord's work!
You think so? I don't remember the bit of the Bible when Jesus lobotomized his political opponents.
I think it was, "Thou who is without sin shall conduct the first lobotomy," Leviticus 2:16.
So you really think we're the good guys?
Yeah. I mean, that's what every Hollywood movie ever has taught me.
But what if you die and get to heaven and St. Paul says, "Oh, sorry, Elvis, you killed more people than diabetes. That's a one-way ticket to hell."
Yeah, whatever. I mean, you see, this is your problem. You don't live in the moment. You're always worried about the variables. I want to worry about the here and now balls.
Elvis, you're 300 pounds, a drug addict, an alcoholic, and you've got some sort of cheese on your chin.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Leftovers from the buffet.
I wish they'd hurry up. I'm dying for the bathroom.
You want to use my cup?
No, this would require a bucket, honey.
Oh, God. You could have just said no.
What? It's weird that women defecate?
No, I just don't want to think about it, so later, I'm still attracted to you.
You are the worst sort of guy, Elvis. You pretend to worship women, but then you can't even accept them as real people who feel things, who want things, and yes, even shit things.
I get it. It's your lady time of the month, right?
Oh, just fuck off. Seriously, fuck off, Elvis.
Fine. I'll just stay in my corner. You stay in yours. For something I might have said, please let forget the past. The future looks bright ahead. Don't be cruel to the heart is true.
Sexist! Bigoted!
Snap! Another face! Another beautiful face!
Jumpsuit wearing! Oh, we're moving again.
Oh, hallelujah.
You should probably see a doctor and a dentist.
I cross my fingers for a sexy nurse, but they all appear to be broken.
I never get drunk and high at work. I do them one at a time like a responsible person. Next up tonight is a supermarket.
Good evening, shoppers and staff. My name is Steve Benson. I've worked here for 10 years, and I would just like to take this chance to tell you all to fuck off. I quit. I'm so sick of all your bullshit. Now, I don't know where everything is in the shop. It changes. Secondly, I don't care if the price of things went up. It's called inflation. Look it up. And thirdly, guys, get out while you still can. They've already automated cash registers. If they work out how to get robots to stock shelves, you're all fucked.
I've never worked in a supermarket, but I did once work in a very shitty market. Next up tonight, a scene from the continuing story of my childhood. It's Blackmore, beady eyes, bedwetting and breast examinations. I'm still at the seaside.
Get up, Richard. Time for breakfast.
Oh, what time is it?
It's 5:45.
What?
Breakfast is served between 6 a.m. and 6:05, so hurry up. I want a seat with a view of the bathroom. Full Englishes don't agree with me.
Oh, don't start fighting with the natives again.
Oh, it's nice in here. Very quaint.
That's just a polite way of saying it's too bloody small.
Oh, just tuck your elbows in.
Fine.
Excuse me, young sir. Your elbow is in the butter dish.
Oh, sorry. Here, let me just scrape the butter back on the dish. Pass me a knife.
Leave it. It's fine.
No, it isn't. I'm covered in all your butter, you cheeky cow.
Richard, enough.
What? Fine. I'm having a ciggy.
Oh, you can't smoke that in here.
Oh, for flippin' sake. I might as well have stayed in bed.
No, we have to be out of the building by 8 a.m. and we're not allowed back in till 8 p.m.
What? Oh, are you taking a piss?
No, honest, these are the rules of the seaside.
No wonder this place is only full of people pretending they're not about to die.
That'll be you one day.
No way. I'm going to spend my retirement somewhere cool, like Mars or Pluto.
Why would you want to go to Mars?
Isn't it obvious? There'd be like unlimited Mars bars.
Mars bars don't come from Mars.
All right, fine then. Where do they come from?
Slough.
Perfect. Then I'll move to Slough.
Fine. But now you're on holiday with me, so behave.
Fine. But I want real Camel cigarettes instead of these knockoffs today. No one should smoke Camus. They make you like think too deeply and it's very distracting.
There you go, Richard. A nice sandy beach, a pack of real Camel cigarettes, and there's even some topless women.
Yeah, but they're like 70.
Well, it's practice for the real thing.
I don't know if it's the real tobacco or them women, but someone is making me nauseous.
Just try to relax.
Oh, look at that seagull. He's pecking at that man.
Where?
There. You know, the green-looking one.
Oh, dear.
What?
That seagull doesn't know that bloke's dead.
I always enjoyed the seaside because pools just can't recreate the feeling of being drowned and stung by jellyfish. Next up tonight is an interview.
Good evening and welcome to the show where we interview pro gamers. Yes, it's time for Don't Hate the Player, Hate the Game. I'm your host, Derek Only Wears Sweatpants. Tonight, I'm joined by two-time Gamer of the Year and 36-year-old stay-at-home son. It's Alan Van Geen Vrieden. Welcome to the studio.
Hello, Derek.
So, you conquered the world of Dota 2, you decimated the field of League of Legends, and you teabagged everyone in Call of Duty. What is next for you?
I'm actually very close to breaking into the top 10 in my latest obsession, a game I would argue is up there with the likes of Dead or Alive 2.
For our younger viewers, could you explain what Dead or Alive 2 is?
It's a beat-em-up released in arcade and PS2 where you could turn on and off the girl's boobs bouncing up and down. It was genius.
So, what is your latest conquest?
It's an instant classic. It's My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic.
What?
Yes, it's the only simulation game which combines classic strategy with My Little Pony. I mean, what more could you want?
Is it a difficult game?
It is, when most of your opponents only have to go to school 6 hours a day. They get a lot more practice than me.
Is there any money in it?
No, I do it for the love of the game. You know, this is football in the 1940s. It's MMA in the 90s. It's women's sports now. You do it because you love My Little Pony.
So, you're a brony.
We prefer that you use the term male rainbow equestrian enthusiast. Brony is our word.
I'm very sorry.
It's okay. Only through questions can we learn.
So, I guess the big question is, are you done with real games?
Real games? I mean, how dare you? Games, 20 years ago, were 2D. Were they any less real?
I only meant... Okay, I meant ones that aren't shit.
Oh, well, touche. I can't pretend to be something I'm not, but who knows? Maybe next year they'll bring out a new Polly Pocket game.
Have you not played Polly Pocket Splash Island?
I think Christmas just came early.
If you don't remember what a Polly Pocket was, you are going to lose it when I show you what a Pog is. First up tonight is an advert!
From the people who brought you Artisan Crafted Handguns, Crack Zero, and of course, the world's famous mustache-powered bike, the Mustache Rider. Comes the new hipster sensation. So are you fed up with feeling envious of your friend's massive record collection? Want to poke them in their smug eyes? Well then look no further and purchase the latest in retro audio entertainment, your very own medieval court jester. Originally invented in ancient Egypt, this antique design will suit any stylish home and comes pre-programmed with all your favorite tracks, such as
Hey Nonny Nonny, the king's so great.
And
YMCA, it's fun to be in the Y.
And of course,
so tell me what you really, really want. I'll tell you what you want, what I really, really want. I wanna zigga, 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 make it say whoa.
Act now and receive a free guillotine to perform traditional jester beheadings. Warning, guillotine use may void warranty.
I wouldn't make a good jester. I don't have the legs for tights. First up tonight, Carl and Neil are still living in a park in East London. Leave me alone. alone, Carl. I'm trying to sleep. Seriously, Carl.
I'm not Carl.
Oh, my God. Who the hell are you?
Have you got a ciggy?
No. Piss off.
Nice setup you got here. Is that a Marks and Spencer trolley? Very fancy.
Leave it alone. That was mine and Carl's housewarming present.
What's going on? Have we got a visitor?
No. This dickhead just waltzed in and started feeling me up.
I was just being friendly.
Yeah, that'll hold up in court.
Are you done with those empty dog food cans?
No, we're using them for drinking cups, you know, like the hipsters.
Oh, right, because this one's got some left in it.
We're saving it for a special occasion.
Do you guys want to buy anything?
What you got?
Anything you need. Just tell me where they sell it so I can nick it.
But that's our thing.
And you can't steal stuff on your own. You need an idiot to keep a lookout.
Never stop me. Seems like it might even be a hindrance.
You don't know what you're talking about.
It's all right, Carl. I'll handle this. Look, mate, you need to leave now before I ram this pedigree chum can up your sphincter.
Do I get to keep the can?
So, what are we going to do today?
Well, I was thinking, what does our new home need?
A roof.
Well, yeah, but, like, even more.
Walls, heating, a toilet.
We've got a toilet.
A carrier bag is not a toilet.
It's reusable. But anyway, no, what we really need is a telly.
Oh, brilliant. I've been missing all my soaps. So, what's the plan?
All right, I'm gonna mace this guy and you grab the biggest telly you can.
Oh, how are we going to cover our faces? I'm going commando today.
Oh, shit, me too. Well, we'll just have to scrunch up our faces. Yeah, like this. You know, that should work. All right, and then, all right, one, two, three, go!
Charge!
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. I'm Greg.
Ah! Quick, grab one!
What colour do you want?
I'll just pick one.
Ooh, this one's 4K. Doesn't look 4 kilometres to me.
Hurry up!
Have you guys been held?
Ah! Got one!
Thank Christ for that, come on!
Hi guys, can I see your receipt?
That was a close one.
Yeah, but did you have to mace that cranny?
Yeah, she had a vote leave sticker on her walker.
So, the telly?
Yeah.
How do we plug it in?
Oh, you... Ah, oh, fuck! I love watching the telly. Sometimes I even turn it on. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Caitlin Docking, Sierra Wiley, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by Connor Neckleput.
There you go. That was the White Noise Show. I hope you enjoyed that half hour of sketch comedy. As I said before, we will be back next week at 9 p.m. for the continuation of our sketch adventure. But yes, coming up in the next half hour is the White Noise After Show, where we're going to be talking about some big topics, probably the Rio Olympics, the fallout from Brexit that has occurred, and even maybe what's going on in America, because they've been having an election forever, so we should probably talk about that. And yes, I'll be joined, as I am now, by Sierra. Hey, how you doing, Sierra? Did you enjoy the best of there?
I think it was the first good one in years, really.
Well, that's interesting, because we've only been on a year and a half, so, you know. But, and Connor looks totally enthralled as he's playing with his phone over there. How you doing, Connor?
Yeah, all right.
Man, you're just selling people on Stay in Tune, man.
Look, all I'm trying to say is that this episode was really quite weak because you didn't feature any of my sketches.
Oh, because, sorry, mate. None of your sketches got into this.
To be fair, though,
it's like, okay, none of mine got in either.
Stiff competition. Yeah, no, you raise an excellent point. I mean, you don't get any sketches in the Best Love Show that you don't write, right? So, on the other hand, I did. So, actually, I suppose that there's a bit of a difference there. But really, overall, I'm not upset because the caliber. No, let me have my say. The caliber of the sketches in this week's show were really phenomenal. I'd like to thank Simon Moulton for writing all of them. I'd like to thank Sierra Wiley for voicing some of the more eccentric characters.
I don't think he is. But...
Simon Welton voiced some of the more silly characters, and I was, of course, the straight man. Only in the show.
Only in the show.
Look, all I'm trying to say is that...
And when is Carl the straight character ever in that sketch?
Well, we haven't determined that he's not straight.
No, I don't mean literally. I mean in terms of comically, but not in that.
Oh.
Don't you find straight people funny?
I'm not trying to say one way or the other, you know? I mean,
there's a miscommunication here between what we're talking about with straight. But yes, I think it's time for a bit of music. Give our listeners a chance to use the bathroom or whatever else they need to do. Do their ablutions and then come back. So we're going to start with the music tonight with a brand new track in the studio. This is Taco Cat and I Love Seattle.
Catalano Street Party, Vancouver's biggest music and arts festival, is back July 9th from 11 a.m. through 9 p.m. Come on down to West 4th for over 50 great bands, including Hannah Georges, White Poppy, Hot Panda, Moo, Woolworm, Mesa Luna, and many more. I can't play this game. The best of Vancouver's food carts and vendors, activities for kids, beer gardens, all this and more will highlight your day. This Saturday, July 9th, brought to you with love from the merchants of West 4th Avenue.
Anyway.
All right, there you go. That is Hannah Georges.
Really rocking out with that female
Evelyn.
Music.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we play a lot of female content.
Did you suggest that like women can't be good musicians?
Here I was thinking that.
Sarah was shocked there to hear a good female musician.
I've never heard women play an instrument, you know, ever.
What?
Wow.
I hope this isn't for real, because I
play 7 instruments.
Yeah. I was like, I got some stuff to show you.
So wait, all you're saying is that you've been hogging them all from the other female musicians?
Yeah.
But just before we carry on, I just wanted to point out, yes, Hannah Georges is going to be playing at the July 9th Catalano Festival, which you did hear an advert for just now. So if you enjoyed that track, definitely go check her out. It's actually a free festival, is that correct, Sierra?
Indeed. So, I mean, once you get in, you're probably paying. But yeah, good stuff. It's really fun.
Yeah, and her album is called For Evelyn, which I believe was her grandmother. So obviously that of... probably the death of her grandmother, I'm presuming, was what drove that album. So, yeah, definitely check out. Probably there's a lot of good tracks on there. I did struggle to pick a good one. Well, my favourite one, rather. not a good one.
Hire Simon as your marketing manager. He's fantastic.
I struggled to find a good track. Check it out. All right, so our first topic tonight is going to be the Rio Olympics.
That should
happen. What Olympics?
Because we this is something bizarrely we haven't really talked about over the last few weeks on the show, but there's a lot going on because, of course, as everybody knows, the Rio Olympics is this year.
Maybe
Rio is, or rather, Brazil is also going through. It's in the grips of a Zika virus outbreak, which obviously is scaring a lot of people. It also is going nationally through a recession, which is the first time ever for a country hosting the Olympics in the year of their Olympics.
Would the UK not have been in recession?
No, not in 2012. No. Okay. No.
They're also they're impeaching their president.
They also are looking to impeach their president. Their police and fire are on strike due to budget shortages, which they are actually claiming is a direct effect of the Olympics being in Rio and the costs associated to it. And this is also a country bearing in mind that 2 years ago hosted a World Cup, which cost probably nearly as much, if not more, than what the Olympics is costing them to host. So, yeah, What's going on, guys? This is chaos.
It makes you wonder, because I know, certainly speaking, at least from a football fan perspective, recent decisions to award World Cups, again, so it's very similar big infrastructure projects to countries who haven't been necessarily natural hosts, such as South Africa, Brazil, now to be Russia and Qatar. And putting that in a similar light, it does make you question whether, because of course there are ways to sell it as in people trying to encourage development in those countries, and you can't knock that. That's a real admirable goal. But then how much do the organizations that run these events actually contribute? And how much does the country who's been given this responsibility actually have to pay themselves? And how much are they only digging themselves into a deeper hole, neglecting the rest of their society, which at times can be a bit fragile?
Yeah, and it's interesting because those countries that you sort of rattled off there are arguably, though, countries that do have very wealthy governments.
Yeah, no, they're not the poorest at all. Like, they're definitely closer to developed in certain senses than other countries. But in many ways, I think these kind of questions and discussions really point out the inequality in these countries, even still. Even though they are growing powerhouses economically, there's still a lot of disparity between income levels and between what in their societies are actually being taken care of and what has been sort of brushed over by the government, by news media sources, and etc.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously it is important to expand sports, because it can be a positive thing.
Yeah, involve everyone, to encourage everyone of any nation and creed and race to be able to participate is an admirable goal.
Absolutely.
But I think it's just, it's become so devolved of what the Olympics was meant to be. And of course, like, in any situation like this, you've got this international group and they've got power and they've got the ability to change so much for better or for worse. And I think there are very few situations in which the Olympics have brought like an overall benefit to a place. I mean, Vancouver is one of the few examples where after the Olympics they were, better off. Like most of the massive infrastructure in Vancouver, at least of recent kind of 20 years, thanks to the Olympics, right? But
you
other
also
countries, not so much.
But you also had to be careful in comparing Winter and Summer Olympics, because Sochi aside, the Winter Olympics is about 2,500 to 3,000 athletes in a Winter Olympics, and there's like 100,000 athletes in a Summer Olympics.
Yeah, if you watch the opening ceremony, it goes on and on and on.
It's a very different scale of investment. It is hard to compare the two. It is one of those things that there is a alternative suggestion that I heard.
Athens?
Yeah, to just have it, because, you have events like Wimbledon and the US Open and things like that, which are always in the same places, and, they are world-renowned events, and they run very smoothly, and they don't seem to have these budget issues because they're set up to do it every single time.
Yeah.
And so there may be something to be said for having like a place in the world where we say, this is where we do the Olympics. We could say it's neutral ground, and this is, when we come here, we're not bringing our politics, we're not bringing the wars.
Do you think
that
that's
involved.
Politically possible? We're,
this is neutral ground where we come and we do sports, and it's just about sports.
That should be fantastic, to actually take a country like Qatar, which is so small, that if you just dominate it by sports, whether it's like football or the Olympics, like, it's not big enough to population-wise or economically to ever be sort of one to throw its weight around because of it. But I mean, you air condition the entire country, build a bunch of stadiums, make that the sports capital of the world,
what, like a dome,
and,
around
like,
the
and
whole
it works because there's no. I mean, of course, there's regional interest, but if you put it in the United States, people go, "Oh, well, it's in the United States."
Yeah,
that's like,
yeah,
you
can't pick the United States.
Yeah, or like, you can pick it in Russia. I mean, no matter where you pick it, someone at some big country, probably, because you need a large country economically to host it, would bear some extra weight, and there'd be boycotts for other countries. But if you're in a strangely kind of neutral country like Qatar, that actually might work.
My suggestion, if we're looking at like a semi-large country, which has, I think you need a country that has a belief in the positivity of sports and like has a vision
not Qatar,
of it,
then.
And has the room and the potential finance to do that. And I would say Australia would be my suggestion. If you built dedicated sports grounds outside of Sydney or Melbourne or one of the major places, but not in the city, like a bit out of it, and you'd have good conditions there to host every year, and consistent conditions. And, you know, it's kind of a neutral country in that, yes, it's part of the old Commonwealth, but, they, you know, right now they're trying to become
it's
a
so
republic.
It's so far away from the rest of the Western Hemisphere in regards. It is often on its own accord. Yeah,
it's a westernized country, but in its own right, it's very different. So, I don't know. To me, that makes a lot of sense.
Or Canada.
Yeah. I mean, but Canada, like, because, yeah, I mean, well, if you had, like, Canada as the winter one. And then you had Australia as the summer host.
Well, sure, Canada could be the summer.
I think I read somewhere that they're actually saying, like, yeah, Vancouver, you know, a little biased here, but would be a really great place to have as a permanent Winter Olympics place. Because
yeah,
they've got Whistler so close by.
Except their own Olympics nearly got done for not having enough snow because it's so coastal. It's like, you know, it's not like even Big White is more consistent than
it's okay. We'll just get ski and board to bring it in their trucks and they can just plop it down on the mountains and it'll be great.
Just freeze some ice and throw up in the mountains, yeah.
Fair news. All right, let's play another track. Wow, we've been talking for a while already. So our next track tonight, we're going to go with Twin River, and this is Anthony.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. That is Twin River with Anthony there from their new track, new album rather, Passing Shade. Definitely check that out. But you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory, and you're listening to the White Noise After Show with Simon Welton, Sierra Wiley, and Connor Neckleput. We are nearly out of here, but we've got one little last topic for you tonight. So, Sierra, what are we talking about?
We're talking about Canada's favorite NSYNC member, Justin Trudeau. And that guy, he's just, oh, it's been so long since Canada's had a prime minister that makes us cry happy tears. I just, oh, man, I was in the same room as him once a couple months ago. It was the best day of my life. But yeah, no, that guy, pretty fantastic, right? Like he marched in Toronto's Pride Parade.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree at all. He wrote this amazing letter at the opening of the Toronto Fringe Festival this year, discussing how much he believed in the value of the arts and what theatre can do for people. And yeah. It was like, I'm like, yeah, this guy, what I like about him is he did kind of work real jobs a little bit before he got into politics. Obviously, he had a very privileged upbringing, went to excellent schools, but he's also like been a bouncer and he's, you know, he's worked.
He's a bouncer, was he?
He was a bouncer at one point, yeah.
That'd be pretty tough. Like, I'd cry to get turned away by him.
And he's done, you know, he's done a lot of little jobs like that. And so he just seems to get a lot of people. He gets it. He gets what makes them tick and what they want. And that's why so many people respond to him, I think.
Yeah, and it's just crazy because I feel like any other politician who just comes out in support of everything or tries to kind of get behind everything, say they believe in it. Like, I mean, in Canada, like a country like this, like you can pretend to be behind so many causes, but it's so hard to come across as genuine. But I feel like he can, you know, honestly say to like all Muslims, like, happy Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak, I think.
He can come out and be in support of all these different groups in Canada. He can help Indigenous rights. He can get out in support of all the different ethnic groups throughout Canada. And somehow I find he's genuine.
You're right. He doesn't seem to have that same disingenuousness that you sort of get a sense of when Hillary's doing her campaign
stops.
Yeah,
that cringe.
He does come across. And it's his speeches because he... Well, the way that he explains his insight to it is something that people relate to if they are into whatever it is he's talking about, because he's very good at sort of reading people and empathizing and understanding them, even if it doesn't reflect his own personal experience as well. So, and that is so important in a leader of any sort of company, never mind a country. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where things go. And obviously, you know, he will be judged not only on his social policies, but his economic policies as well.
And how he reacts to international engagements, which thus far kind of... I mean, the Syrian refugee crisis went pretty well from Canada's perspective, I think.
They're looking to model some other country systems off of Canada's private sponsorship. So, yeah, not too bad. But, yeah.
Yeah, no, I quite agree. He's had a great term so far, and we'll see how things go.
And he's what, about 9 months in?
Yeah, and you know, I don't think his popularity's gone down, which is impressive. It is impressive. So, unfortunately, we are going to have to leave it there because there is another show that is lined up to come on very, very soon. But thank you so much for coming here, Sierra and Connor, today. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Simon.
No worries. It was a pleasure to have you here. And yes, we will be back next week at 9 p.m. with some more comedy and some more chit-chat and, of course, some more kick-ass music, as we always do. So join us then. Otherwise, enjoy the rest of your night, and hopefully we will see you soon. We're going to leave you with one last track from this really cool guy. He's called Andy Schauf. This is The Worst In You, rather.